Good morning, everyone. You know, a couple of times and sorry, this series hasn't been as frequent, but last time we talked about how we should talk, how we should think. Now we're going to talk about what should we eat. And I want to encourage us with a couple of these things, but the eating is important for me because, you know, well, you could look at my stomach, but I mean, I'm trying to, you know, keep off the carbs and different things. As I get older, I have to watch what I eat. I miss the days when I could eat something and just go to sleep. Now you wake up with indigestion and different things. But, you know, what if I told you there was a supermarket and all the supermarket had tainted food, right? Would you shop there? No, nobody would shop there, right? But the world, all the food, all the things that the world has to offer us is tainted, right? It's all being controlled by the enemy, the devil, and we need to learn what we're eating, what we're digesting, what we're feeding on. And we have a lot of stuff that is trying to grab our attention. We know the phones, the social media, whether it be TV, every time you turn on these things are trying to infiltrate our thoughts and help us digest those things. And so I want to talk about what should we eat. And it's the manna. And it's about Christ being our manna. So I want to use the application as Christ being our manna, our food. And I want to bring it into an application of us today. So let's read a couple of scriptures. And I want to, you know, say it. I'm not coming up with Christ of manna at the top of my head. The Bible talks about Christ as manna. So let's turn to John chapter 6 and using the application of Christ being the manna. And so this was after Christ fed the 5,000. And it says here, I read from verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which is his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And when they said to him, What shall we do? We may work the works of God. Jesus answered and said, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and those who come to me I will no means cast out. So I just wanted to read that scripture just to bring us into the thoughts that Christ is an application of the manna. And in Exodus chapter 16, when God gave them the manna, it was, again, bread from heaven. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, and I'm going to turn to a couple of scriptures because I want to make sure we know that it's not just me saying these things. These are actually from the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you do not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So it's important for us to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how we learn to rely on him. That's how we learn. As we feed on him, he becomes more dear to us. But he uses this manna to teach us, to prove himself to us, but also to to give us instruction in what to do. And that's the same way that he did for the children of Israel. He used the manna to instruct them. God teaches us through our daily dependence on him not to depend on the things of this world. The problem is that when you don't feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is that you start to rely on the things of the world. It's our natural thing to rely on the things that we feed on most, right? And I'll tell you, it's like, you know, when I'm driving sometimes in the city, it's like I feel like I pass by McDonald's. It's like, I want to turn in. You know what I'm saying? You know, because it's like after you feed on that all the time, it's something quick. It's fast food, right? You know, you don't have to get out your car. You could go through the drive-thru, right? You know, I could get back to New Jersey. I want to stop quick and get a burger or a thing or something like that. But that's the thing. It's training you to rely on that stuff, right? And you have to train yourself not to rely on the things of this world. The things of the world is fast food. What it is it seems pleasant when you're eating it. But then what happens is that you don't see the high blood pressure when you're my age. You don't see the diabetes and everything that these things are causing, right? But it's something quick. And that's the thing is that the things of this world are causing us to be hurt as Christians. And the Lord is calling us to feed on him, feed on the manna. It's teaching us to rely on him, to be dependent on him, and to be encouraged by his things. The other thing is that manna is heavenly food. And it says that in Psalms chapter 78 and 24 and 25, verses 24 and 25. 24, had rained down manna on them to eat and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. And again, manna is heavenly food. What does this mean for us spiritually? It means that it can't be produced by us. We can't manufacture it, right? It can't be done by our own self-effort. Spiritual things are given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by spending time with him we get to enjoy things spiritually. We can start to grow spiritually. We cannot, by our own self-effort, do that, right? You know what I'm saying? It's by spending time with him. It's a quiet time. It's by meditating on his word. It's by being at the meeting. It's by going camps, conferences, whatever you do to spend time in his presence. That's how you're able to enjoy this food. And this is food from heaven, is that it's heavenly food. It's done by spiritual work. It's a spiritual work that's given to us through him. And so the spiritual life must come from heaven, right? It cannot be done by our own self-effort. And so that's another encouragement we can have here, is that as we spend time with him, we know that he is imparting to us things that we can't impart or do by our own selves, right? It's by when we get up in the morning and we read something about the Lord Jesus Christ and it blesses our heart and we are encouraged, we know it's only through him, right? You know, sometimes you read the good seed or you read the Lord is near, right? And you can get something for that day. And it's just like a little nugget, right? But you can enjoy that for the rest of the day. And it's funny how it works, right? When we eat our physical food, right? I eat something now. The next hour, I'm hungry. I'm snacking. I want something to eat. But it's funny that you could read something in the morning, and that stuff that you enjoy in the morning about the Lord Jesus Christ can, in the day, you could be smiling about something that you read in the morning, right? It's something that can bless your heart and encourage you. And so that's where it means that it's bread from heaven. It's for our needs. But another thing about manna was, how was it captured or how was it gathered, right? And so this is how I want to encourage us too, is in Exodus chapter 16, verse 19, it says, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. So every morning they woke up and they ate the manna. And I want to encourage us, every morning when we get up, we should spend time with the Lord. And what happened is that when the day got hot, it started to stink. It started to breed worms. And this is the effect of the world. If we do not feed on Christ in the morning, right, the world tries to capture our attention. It tries to taint everything that we heard or everything that we did. And that's why it's important for us to spend time with Christ in the morning, every morning. And the yesterday's manna couldn't sustain them for today, right? They had to get it fresh every morning. Sometimes the devil tries to trick us to think that the things that we learned about Christ yesterday could sustain us for today. But sometimes we need a fresh dose of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to spend time with him every day. Yes, we can draw on things that we've learned, but we cannot stop reading the Word of God and say, well, I remember when I was a child, I went to Sunday school and we learned about Noah's Ark and we learned about David and Goliath and we learned about Daniel and lion's den. And so, you know what? I don't need to read today because I could draw on those things from yesterday. But as you grow in your Christian faith, the Lord becomes more real to you. The Lord gives us new insight to the things is that I know as you read God's word, something that you've read previously, you could get a new thing that's needed for that day. And so our encouragement is that we shouldn't neglect reading in the morning. I know sometimes that the day becomes so quick, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like I wake up in the morning and I have people calling me already, you know, like, you know, as soon as like 6 o'clock in the morning, you see people, oh, this is happening. You know, they're texting you, something's happening. Oh, the schools are calling, everybody's calling, right? Everybody wants your attention. And that's the thing is that before you give the world your attention, give the Lord your attention. And you'll see how it'll change your day. You'll see how you'll be in a brighter mood. You'll see how you'll be happier. You'll see how the Lord will make things just roll off your back, right? And so my encouragement is that from, as we saw, that the manna, that they had to get it in the morning. And then let's look at the shape and the aspect of the manna, and let's see how it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same Exodus chapter 14, in verse 14, chapter 16, verse 14, it says, and when the layer of dew lifted, there in the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And I want to tie it to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. So the manna was round. Right? And I believe it speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ was complete. He was sufficient. He was lacking nothing. And Christ needs no addition or replacement. Right? And this is what the aspect of the manna speaks that it was round, right? But also it had no form. It says it was plain, it was unimpressive, right? It was easily despised. They said, what is it? But Let's be careful and beware about despising Christ because he lacks spectacle, right? And so sometimes people look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, oh, okay, you know, or I'm reading the same thing, I'm doing the same thing, or you know, they look at Christ because there's no pomp, there's no grandeur. The world likes the pizzazz, it likes the pomp, it likes, you know, you look at the commercials, I know Super Bowl's coming up and all these things, you look at the commercials, everything is pow, bam, you know, it's like they're trying to grab your attention. But the Lord Jesus Christ is he wasn't anything, he had no form or comeliness, right? You know what I'm saying? He was just plain. It was just, when the people looked at him, this is a man from Galilee, you know, he didn't have any pomp or anything and stuff like that. And that's why the children of Israel like said, what is this? Like, what is this? And so the manna speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ as that it was round, he was complete. It was had no form or comeliness. But also it says that in Exodus chapter 16, same 16, in verse 31, it talked about its color. And the house of Israel called it its name manna. And it was like a white coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And the Lord Jesus Christ is spotless. He's white. He's undefiled. Only a pure Christ can satisfy a sinful people. And so the thing is that when you look at the world, when you look at the things of this world, it's nothing pure. There's nothing pure there. Everything has been tainted by the devil. Everything, if you look at the news, as we said, if you look at the phone, if you look at everything, everything has been tainted. The only thing that is pure and spotless in this world and has walked through this scene is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also said that the taste of it. And let's look at the taste. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 8, it says that now the manna was like a coriander seed and it was colored like the color of Bethlehem. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstone, and beat it on the mortar, and cooked it into pans and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of a pastry prepared with oil. And so oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And so the only way you can enjoy Christ is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is only truly enjoyed, is Christ is only known and enjoyed through the Holy Spirit. And so that's an encouragement we can have here, is that, again, the oil speaks to the Holy Spirit, and that's the enjoyment that we can have in Christ. But also another aspect of it, it says that it tasted like honey, as we read previously. And that honey is the natural sweetness that we can have as we read God's word and we feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And honey, we know, is not anything added to it. It's natural. It's not anything where, you know, this through the bees. It's not anything that's added to it. It's not a sweetener where people extract it. We know the sugar today, as we have, is that, you know, you add so many things to it, it's not even really sugar anymore. And so we know this is a natural thing. And so we can read in Psalms 34 and verse 8, it talks about, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And that's the encouragement we can have from here, is that the natural sweetness that comes from spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ is that there's no other sweetness like it. There's no other thing like it. I can't even explain it. His words could fail me to explain, is that it's just something when you spend time with him and you are encouraged and you are, it's like it emboldens you for the day. And I want to encourage us to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, to see how he tastes, like oil and honey, the Holy Spirit, and the natural sweetness from spending time with him. And then what happens sometimes is when you get too much of something, you start to feel, well, you know, I want something else. You know, I'm tired of eating this manna. And so in Numbers chapter 11, in Numbers 11, verse 4, it says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing all except this manna before our eyes.'" Is that they were tired of feeding on the manna. They started to long for the things of the world. Egypt speaks to the world. And they started to think about all the leeks and the garlics and all the tasty foods that they had in Egypt. And they said, "Oh, this is just manna. This is all we have. This is all God's providing for us." And so sometimes that could become our state, is that we start to feel like, okay, I'm reading the Bible every day. It's not changing my life the way I want it. It's not, you know, this is still not happening for me. This is not thing. And this is what they started to do. They started to murmur. They started to backbite. They started to do things where they started to feel that they wanted something else. Christ was just an ingredient to them. But Christ is trying to tell you he's not the ingredient. He's the whole meal. He's telling you that he's all you need. There was nobody who went hungry. It says they were able to gather all that they wanted. Is that there was never somebody who said they didn't have enough manna. They had too much, right? And all the things that they wanted, more variety. And this brings leanness to your soul. This brings leanness to your soul. When you start to say, well, you know what? And there's people who do it too. They try to even mix the Lord with different things, right? They try to say, well, you know what? I'm going to mix it with this or try to do different things. And the Lord is trying to tell you he's his are all in all. He's everything that we need. And so the encouragement for us is that let's not crave for the things of this world. As the Bible says, the pleasure of sin is for a season. It does say that sin is pleasurable, but it's just for a season. And just as I said before, is that the diet is important. And I wish as a child I was more cognizant of this fact, that what you eat, it catches up you later, right? And so what we're eating now may catch up with you later. And so let's not long for the things that we have been delivered from. The Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from these things. Let us feed on him and not feed on the things of Egypt. And the last thing I want to encourage us with is in Joshua chapter 5, in verse 12. And it says, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. So the manna ceased here. But we can be encouraged that the Lord Jesus Christ will satisfy us forever. Is that the manna ceased, but Christ remains. And I want to encourage us with this, is that Christ is our all. Christ is our whole meal. Christ is everything that we need. And we can have present enjoyment with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just leave us with those thoughts. Let's gather him early. Let's feed on him daily. And let's trust in him fully. For his name's sake. Amen.